My guest at this time is Mark Amadei, the Republican nominee for Congress in Nevada's 2nd Congressional District. He is running in the special election scheduled for September 13th to fill the seat vacated by now Nevada Senator Dean Heller, who rose to that position after being appointed by Governor Sandoval in the wake of the resignation of Senator John Ensign. And as this special election gets closer to its September 13th election day, the issue of the debt ceiling is becoming a more and more prominent issue and is also the centerpiece of a new ad from the Amadei campaign, which has got some people excited and some people a little upset. So we're going to talk about it now. And Mark, it's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, certainly the debt ceiling debate is sucking most of the oxygen out of Washington, and it's clearly a major issue around the country. I think that was pretty evident in the 2010 midterm elections, and it seems to be a major issue also in your campaign as you get ready to take on the Democratic nominee here, Kate Marshall. What is the attitude of most people in your district about how important this debt ceiling debate is right now and how it ought to be resolved?
You know, when you've got a state that's leading the nation in unemployment and home foreclosures and things like that, people, obviously, as they've done historically, have focused on financial issues much more so than normal. And when they look at things like the debt's gone up 40% in the last 2 years and how the budget's out of balance by, $1.6 trillion or something along those lines, people are worried about where that's taken us as far as what it's doing financially to the country, what it's doing in terms of the economy. Nevada's a state that, as I indicated earlier, is suffering in the economy. And so people in Congressional District 2 are very, very focused on the federal fiscal policies right now, which appear to have not much concern about whether we're overspending and that we're having to borrow to sustain that overspending.
The ad in question recently is one that essentially talks about the consequences of raising the debt ceiling, in increasing reliance on China to buy up that debt. And so basically the point of your ad was that we're ceding our own sovereignty to the Chinese. Talk a little bit more about the content of your ad and why you think you're getting such an active response to it.
Well, happy to. First of all, the focus on strictly China in the ad and not the U.S. fiscal policies is fairly uniform from those folks who don't want to talk about the fiscal policies of the United States. If you really look at the ad, it's about what American conduct is doing. And yes, China is the biggest foreign debt holder of our debt. And by the way, if you think that's a sound policy to have your number one competitor for superpower status economically and militarily also being your largest creditor, then, you know, I think there's plenty of folks in Washington who have acknowledged concern about that. So the ad isn't really groundbreaking in that sense. It was provocative in terms of getting people's attention about, hey, we've got to change the course here on the deficit spending and on running up the debt at the rate that we have, especially in the last couple of years. Not that it was good before that, but the pace at which it has quickened, you know, is phenomenally alarming. So it is gratifying after the initial pushback of going, oh, it's xenophobic and whatever. It's like, listen, the only phobia I've experienced because of this is the phobia on behalf of some to confront the reality of the folly of our fiscal policies and those who want to continue the blank check policy of just running up the debt.
If you were in Washington right now, what tack would you be pushing for House Republicans to take as this debate gets closer and closer to the imposed deadline of August 2nd?
Well, you know, everybody wants to look for a soundbite and a cliche and those sorts of things, and it's a little more broad than that. Yeah, balanced budget amendment's a good idea, but that doesn't in and of itself ensure spending discipline or tax discipline. So you need to talk about those things in terms of spending caps. You need to talk about how to lower the debt ceiling as it comes down so you don't leave it up there artificially high to run up again. You need to talk about what we do in terms of tying spending to objective criteria for spending instead of political criteria. And then, of course, there's always the thing about supermajority requirements to enact more taxes so that it's not just a 51-49 proposition. There's a large package of things if you really want to make spending, tie it to objective criteria instead of political criteria, and shrink the size of government so that you have more of those of that value in the private sector, creating private sector jobs. There's about four or five bases you need to touch in that context. One or two of them, I don't believe, will get the job done.
Mark, in terms of the differences between you and your opponent in this race, especially when it comes to the debt issue, what's the distinct differences between you and Ms. Marshall?
Well, I've got 14 years experience at the state level in terms of having to leave Carson City at the end of those sessions with a balanced state budget, have played some pretty varsity level in some varsity level budget issues before, had bills that proposed spending caps, had bills that went ahead and talked about discipline in terms of the budget. I've actually voted against a budget, not just taxes, but against the budget. National Taxpayers Union rating 23 points above friend of the taxpayer. Those are all things that I've been involved with over the course of my public experience that my opponent, quite frankly, has no votes on anything.
The economy certainly is likely to be the major issue, not only in your campaign, but throughout the campaign next year, which if you win the special election, you'll be campaigning again next year also. What other issues seem to be high and prominent on the minds of the folks in your district?
Well, they're related to what we've just been talking about, and that is Nevada with its unemployment rate, and also as a state that about 85% is owned by the federal government. So when you talk about generating jobs in Nevada, diversifying our private sector economic base to have a sustainable job creation base, then I think you have to talk about the role that landlord, if you will, who controls 85% of the state's acres, will play in that. So that's one of the big things that I think people in Nevada are looking at is jobs. How do we diversify our economy so that we can be more sustainable as these financial ups and downs occur over the course of the future years? So that's a lot of what we're concentrating on is jobs and also trying to keep the federal government from slowing down the recovery here in Nevada with any of its policies regarding taxes or regulations.
Do you think it's a realistic hope to be able to peel back some of the government influence given the fact that they do own so much of the land in the state?
There's two major agencies at the federal level. Bureau of Land Management is part of the Department of the Interior. The Forest Service is part of the Department of Agriculture. I think it's realistic to work in a very grassroots sense down to the district manager and district ranger level with those folks on up to the regional and national levels. And so I have a background in land use also and resource issues, so I'm looking forward, if given the opportunity, to using that experience and that expertise to go try to start, you know, working that from the bottom up.
Very interesting. Well, Mark, we'll certainly be following your campaign as it heads towards that September 13th special election date. We appreciate your time, and we'll check in with you soon.
Great. Thanks.
Mark Amadei is the Republican nominee for the House in Nevada's 2nd Congressional District. Again, that special election set for September 13th. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.